Hey, everybody. Jeff Prather with you in the Perfection Auto Works studio, KVOI.com, 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Maranatha, I greet you in the traditional Aramaic proclamation of the Lord is risen. Happy Easter to everyone. And I hope you're having a blessed weekend. We had a great Pesach or Passover Seder last night in our chaplaincy. And then we had a great Easter service this morning. They were great bookends together. And the great thing is that we had all kinds of folks from Catholic, Christian, Jewish, LDS, Native, all kinds of stuff coming together. And it was a really wonderful time. If you're interested in our chaplaincy, which is experiential and not so doctrinal, not so legalistic, that's at christchaplaincy.com. And we have a morning service at 9 a.m., a teleservice that goes out as far as Africa, Europe, Iraq, Afghanistan. And then we have a 3 o'clock service as well that you can call into as well. We start off with connection prayer, silent prayer, listening, which too many people don't listen. They're always talking, and that's a one-way conversation. So a couple things to talk about today. And the first I think we should get to is praying for Paris and Notre Dame. That happened earlier this week. I got to go to Notre Dame because my wonderful dad, 92-year-old dad who's with us and hopefully listening, thanks Dad, took me to Notre Dame, got to see it before it caught on fire. And I probably think that that is a terrorist attack, and I don't think the French are going to admit that. The French have had a long history of problems. Macron has a problem with Trump, but that goes way, way back, and I'll talk about that in a second. But there's been a long history of terrorist attacks around Notre Dame, very similar to what happened to us on 9/11. There was a long history of the Twin Towers being attacked the previous time they had been attacked from below. And so there's actually a security expert who predicted that they would attack from above. And he was a veteran of the We Were Soldiers Once and Young battle. And he actually died saving folks. I can't think of his name right now, but I suspect that Notre Dame was a terrorist attack. And there's been a lot of church attacks going on recently and mosque attacks. And this is something that Jews in their synagogues have been dealing with for a long time. I've done a lot of security at a lot of schools and Christian schools and synagogues and churches over the years. But I don't think they will admit that. I don't think they'll be open to investigating that. And that's very much what's going on with our human secularist left-wing DOJ and FBI as well. But eventually, I think it'll come out that that was a terrorist attack. And that the reason for that is because France has fallen apart. The Yellow Vest protests are still violent. They're still going on since last year. People have had it with the French tax increase. And that's just a disaster. And that's really interesting. It's nothing new. We had to rescue and I'm just getting a text from somebody. John O'Neill is the guy I'm thinking of. I don't know. I don't think that's the right name. Rick Rascala, I think, is the name of the guy who was with the security who predicted the attack of 9/11, if I remember correctly. And he went back and he died trying to rescue people. And he was a veteran of that battle of We Were Soldiers Once and Young. The first time, bad intelligence again. And I was an intelligence officer. And the first regular army contact with the North Vietnamese army. It's a Mel Gibson movie, real good movie. But the French people are fed up with the French government, and Trump is starting to get a better image in France. First, everybody was hating him because they were told to hate him, just like liberals here. But that is changing because they're seeing that he's putting America first, and so then they want France to be put first. And that's not happening. So on top of the Yellow Vest protests, and they got to have Yellow Vests in their car. That's where they come from. They've been going on there getting real violent. And they're not just in Paris. They're in lots of cities. There are also now they've lost their spire. It's been beheaded. Even Macron said that of Notre Dame. And that's real sad. And there was a heroic priest who ran in and he grabbed the crown of thorns that they think were used to be put on Joshua's head at the crucifixion. And there was also some film of, if you go on YouTube, you can see some film of somebody up on the upper levels. We don't know who that is yet, but I doubt if it's going to come out to be the truth because there's too many other things failing with the government. The lesson is that's more left-wing government failing because they're going with man's folly as opposed to God's wisdom. What do I mean by that? Well, our revolution was founded upon the principles of Judeo-Christian native principles. Benjamin Franklin wanted the Great Seal of the United States to be Moses parting the Red Sea. It didn't turn out to be that. It turned out to be the native symbol of the Itza in Apache, the eagle holding a bundle of arrows that was used by Tecumseh, I believe, to show the council, the Great Iroquois Council. And then, of course, Thomas Jefferson signed his letters, Yours in Christ, and George Washington was all about divine providence because he lost almost every battle, but divine providence would come in and save him at the last minute. And there's no better example of divine providence than Moses at the Red Sea. He's done everything he can, and he needs a little help to help out, and I talk about that a lot in my handgun martial arts class every Wednesday night. And if you're interested in that, go to warriorschool.com. That's a very ongoing martial art around the handgun, a true American martial art. But anyway, our revolution is founded on truths. And those truths come from our spiritual qualities. And our spiritual qualities come from our morals. And our morals develop our national ethics. And those are Judeo-Christian native ethics, whereas liberalism is always shifting. One week, a wall's immoral, and then the next week, it's okay to kill babies, an unborn, born who has sided to abortion. It's just ludicrous. It is ridiculous. But we can go back and look at that paradigm because after our revolution, how did the French feel about our revolution? They loved it. They thought it was great. Benjamin Franklin was a rock star in Europe. And so they had their own revolution. And Thomas Jefferson saw it as one revolution, not the French Revolution, the American Revolution. And the French came to our aid. And that's really the last time the French were really useful to us, if it, the truth be told, because we had to go liberate France and de Gaulle wouldn't cooperate with Eisenhower on that. And Eisenhower said, okay, you were not going to help, but you won't address the French people, tell them to listen to me, but I will... we'll liberate France anyway. But during the French Revolution, a lot of people don't know this, is they tried to get rid of Christianity as a foundation of principles for government. And they tried to replace it with human secularism. And that's when everything fell apart in France. So that's France, that's Canada, that's right above us. And then right below us, the same thing happened with the Mexican Revolution, which happened later on. And the Mexican Revolution, when that happened, they tried to get rid of Christianity, which in Mexico is Catholicism, and there's a great movie called No Greater Glory. Have you seen that one, John? That's a good one to see. And you can see, watch the credits at the end, and you can see the actual footage of them hanging priests alongside railroads and shooting priests and burning churches. And that was the Cristeros War, is they actually fought back. And so above us and below us, we can see the paradigm of when we lose our spiritual truths, we go astray. And that is what was happening in America. And that's really what I think, how I interpret what Trump is saying about is making America great again. And most of his family is Jewish. So it was really cool to do Pesach, Passover, last night over at Senior Chaplain Lewis Breton's house. And it was a different kind of Passover. It was really focused on the kids and real nice. But Passover is really about freedom. And America is really about freedom. And that's really what Christianity is supposed to be about, is freedom. So pray for France. I'm worried about France. I don't think they're going to do well because I don't think they're facing up to reality. And they've raised all this money, like $1 billion for Notre Dame. And now the Yellow Vest peoples, and the Yellow Vest are required to be carried in everybody's car. They're saying, well, what about us? You're taxing us to death. And that should sound familiar because that was the American Revolution, taxes. And for my martial arts students, if you're listening, that's BujinkanUSA.com. The samurai were tax collectors, and the ninja were the counterculture, kind of the native peoples. I know it's the Ainu, the bear people, but kind of the counterculture, the cowboy to Indian, the samurai to ninja culture there. So I don't think that's going to bode well, and I think they're going to probably try and rebuild it, and I think they're going to try and do it differently because they think they know better than these classic craftsmen, and they don't know better, but they'll have to do it because those kind of craftsmen don't exist anymore. The lead for the stained glass windows, those experts, that's why you see modern art. If you've ever seen the film Agenda, you'll see that part of the agenda is to degrade art. You can't have any art that inspires divine inspiration. And just go out and look at all the art at government buildings. It's, as Jack Nicholson in Batman said, crap, 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 crap. It's all crap, crap, crap now. And that's part of the communist agenda, so that art is not inspiring. Plus, they won't be able to make it. So I guess they're going to have some kind of lottery about that. But I digress, and I've already gone over the my first break, so we're going to break here in a second. But let me remember, while we're in the Perfection Auto Studios, that you should also stop in at Diamondback Shooting Sports. They are hands down Tucson's best gun store for all your shooting needs. I've trained shooters by the tens of thousands, and whenever, whatever my guys need, I send them to Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway. They have a full line of firearms, law enforcement, and tactical gear. I know the owner, Doug, personally. He's a great guy. They've been here for 20 years. Arizona Daily Star voted them best Tucson gun store 4 years in a row, right up to 2018. They're open 7 days a week. Diamondback Shooting Sports, 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338. And this is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, right back with you after this break. Jeff Prather, back with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Stop in and see Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly at 323-8650, home of the free 26-point inspection. And also stop in at Diamondback and see Doug there and look at dbacktraining.com. They do a lot of training. I used to train a lot of military by the tens of thousands, and I always sent them to Diamondback for all their shooting needs. So, getting back into what's going on is I just wanted to mention, and you probably haven't heard. I'm always trying to tell you, I don't want to duplicate what other people say. I want to tell you what no one else is telling you. But there were two U.S. soldiers down on the border detained by Mexican soldiers on the U.S. side this week. This used to happen quite a bit when I was on the border, and it's unacceptable. And it's because the U.S. soldiers are supporting the Border Patrol. They are not infantry. That happened a long time ago. I used to work with Joint Task Force 6, and they'd put them on there, but they had some incidents, and so they pulled them off, so they're just support, and they were released. But that should not be happening. And the reason for that is because they don't want the military on the border. I don't know why. It's a misinterpretation of Posse Comitatus. Posse Comitatus is using the military inside the United States. We're talking about defending the border. That's exactly what we are for. I know. I'm a retired veteran. But, you know, no one's asking me for my opinion. I'm just going to give it anyway. But that did happen, and I doubt if you've heard about it from other sources this week. I also want to talk, though, about, I want to put my chaplain hat on today and talk about how important it is, how important today is. This is the most important day for Christians and Christianity, and really it's the fulfillment of Judaism for Messianic Jews. Traditional Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. But this is supposed to be some kind of world-changing, universe-changing event. And you can get into a lot of dogma and doctrine. And I gave, a really good sermon today on that. And you can go to, it's not up yet, but it'll probably be up later. But the important thing is, if something happened like that, that's just an incredible, outrageous claim to make, is Yeshua, who's Joshua, or you could call him Josh for short, comes back to life, is resurrected, there should be some kind of evidence of that out there. If this was a universe life-changing event, things changed. And there is. And a lot of you may not know that. But in Oviedo, Spain, there is something called the sudarium. And sudarium is like a sweat cloth. So in the military, we had dog rags. And when I'm riding horses as a cowboy, we have wild rags. And if I'm doing Apache stuff, I have my chosti. We always have, if we're out, some kind of rag to wipe the sweat off or keep the sun off or something. In the ancient world, that was no different. That was called a sudarium. And so there's something called the Veronica Veil, where supposedly some lady named Veronica, it's not really listed in the Gospels very well, but it does talk about Yeshua having a conversation in Luke with some woman as he's going on the Via Rosa, the Via Dolorosa, the walk of pain, the passion. And you can see this in Mel Gibson's movie, is a woman wipes his face off with sweat, and there's an image left on there. That may or may not be actual, because it also could be Vera and truth, icon, Vera, the Veronica, you put those together, that is a true icon. But there is a sudarium, and it has bloodstains on it, and it's in a church in Oviedo, Spain. And so there is evidence of death there on that, because if you've ever been around a lot of dead, like I have, the first thing you do is you cover up the face, because you don't want to be looking at those eyes that the spirit has gone away from. So everybody covers up the face. So it could be the Veronica veil. It could be that somebody covered up Yeshua's face when they took him off the cross, that he is dead. But the interesting thing about that is the sudarium of Oviedo matches precisely, when you overlay it, with the Shroud of Turin in Italy. So the Shroud of Turin is the life-changing event. So the Shroud of Turin is this big, long linen shroud that has just been studied. And it, of all the icons, relics in the Catholic Church, this is the most interesting. Of course, any Hispanic in Tucson knows La Virgen de Guadalupe. Everybody knows. I've seen the original in Mexico City, in the cathedral in Mexico City. That's a real interesting thing. I think it's a painting. I've seen it close up. There's all kinds of sub-paintings in that painting. My dad's a big devotee of Mary, of Notre Dame, of our mother, or the lady. She does keep showing up everywhere, contrary to conventional Christian doctrine. But of all of the relics, the most interesting is the shroud, and they just cannot figure it out. And so the Shroud of Turin is this burial shroud, and it's listed in the Gospels. You can look it up. Again, everything I say, you can always look up. it's in all the Gospels, especially the Synoptic Gospels and even beyond, is this is the linen cloth that Yeshua was wrapped in. And if you've seen Risen, one of my new favorite movies, you can see the tribune hold up the shroud. He goes back into the tomb. There's nobody in the tomb. He's got to find him, and he can see the image. So you know how when the atomic bomb went off in Hiroshima, there are shadows, there are images of people shadowed on the wall. This is very similar to what exists on the shroud. There is this negative, there is this faint negative. And when they came up with the camera, actually they had a camera obscura back then, it's a very primitive camera, but when you reverse it, you get a positive image. And they can't quite figure out how this was made, but it was made somehow. The closest thing is light coming out of all the cells of the body, and it was also probably made in weightlessness. That is, if the body was part of the shroud, goes over the, under the body and over the body, it's wrapped. And if it laid under the body, of course, the flesh would flatten out the image, and it is not. And of course, if it lays over, the drape makes it longer, and it is not. So in the instant that it is formed, scientists theorize that there is weightlessness, so that there is a universe-changing event. And as a Christian chaplain, I say that's when Yeshua, the Christ connection, pierces time and space, and we are connected beyond the wall, the curved walls of time and space, to what's beyond the universe. I say that's God, that's heaven. And the great Holy Spirit, the Ruha, comes through there, and there is renewal. There is new life. The original state of Adam, if you go back and look at Genesis, before eating the apple, before sin. And there, yeah, there's people said, carbon dating doesn't work. Well, they've taken patches from where it was repaired. Also, if there was some kind of radiation that happened during that, then that radiation could have affected the dating too. But every year, as our scientific technology gets better, we get more and more data from the shroud. So besides having the Gospels as a record, I think we also have physical records of the death in the Sudarium of Oviedo and of the resurrection in the Shroud of Turin. And when you overlay them over each other, the bloodstains are precisely accurate. And there is no burned image in the Sudarium. The burned image and the bloodstains are on the shroud. And I find that fascinating. Church doesn't come down on a position either way. But I think it is clear evidence of that. But if you've never heard of that, one of my complaints about traditional services is they just stay in this really narrow lane and they say the same thing over and over, as opposed to going out there and using science to prove or disprove where other things move forward. And this, I think, is very interesting, and a lot of people have studied the shroud. There's even a TED talk of a Jewish scientist who studied the shroud, and he goes, I think the shroud's real because I had left my faith, and after I studied the shroud, I came back to my faith. So I think it's good for that. But the science is inconclusive, but it's real interesting. So again, everything I always say, you can always look up and go ahead and look up the Oviedo Sudarium and the Shroud of Turin. There's lots of information out about that. A lot of people don't know about it, but it is very cool stuff. So coming up on another break here, and we will be right back after this break with the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, right back with you. Already got a phone call in, and I think I know this caller. Amber, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. I was calling in with a good book if people are interested in reading more about the Shroud. I'm working my way through it right now. It's called The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. It's by Robert K. Wilcox. It's got a lot of really cool stuff in it. And you were talking about evidence, and he goes into really good scientific detail on why it's not this, why it's not this. We don't exactly know what it is, but this is the closest thing we can figure, and it matches. It all matches. They talk about how they tried to say that it was a fraud for a long time, but when he looks at it, there are things that if someone had wanted to fake it, one, no one's been able to paint anything like this. The techniques weren't known. They didn't know about negative images. Even at the carbon dating that they do have, they didn't have the know-how to do that. But it talks about, for example, if you're going to create a fraud, you're going to make something that is believable, that matches what people are already looking for. And a lot of the evidence in the Shroud doesn't match conventional Christian acceptance at that time, like the nails through the wrists rather than through the palms. And there was one that stood out that I thought was just really interesting, and he talks about the wounds on the head. Everyone talks about, oh, they match the crown of thorns. We just talked about the crown of thorns at Notre Dame. But it wasn't a crown in a hoop the way that was accepted at the time. The evidence on the Shroud shows that these puncture marks from the thorns wrap all the way around his head, and that actually matches the more Eastern tradition that you didn't wear a hoop as a crown. You wore a mitre or a yarmulke. So it actually matches the reality of this of the history of the crucifixion better than the conventional Christian understanding of it when it was first discovered.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks, Amber. Yeah, and so if that helps your faith, that's great. And she's talking about you have to go through the wrist bones, not through the hand. The hand would tear out. And people who study this stuff like me would know that. And the crown of thorns going over the top, that's very true. And yeah, and so that is interesting because they cannot figure it out. It's as our science catches up, we keep getting more and more. Like a while back, they got three-dimensional images out of it, and we didn't have the technology for that before. So it's stuff you don't usually get in church, and that's too bad because a long time ago. So now the high priests are the PhDs, and you got to have a PhD on your name to be a priest of science. And they have all their prejudice as well, like global warming. But thanks for that call. And also the Sidarium is real interesting. So moving on, the next thing is make sure we are praying for Sri Lanka. And so if you haven't heard, that just happened this morning, is there were a lot of hotel and church bombings in Sri Lanka. And there's over 450 wounded, and there's over 207 dead. And they range from about 30 different countries, including Americans and Brits. And I'll tell you why that's significant. Dutch, Portuguese, Chinese. No one has claimed credit for that attack yet, but I would suspect that that is a Muslim group. Although Sri Lanka is down off the coast of India, and that's mainly Hindu. But then, you know, you got to remember why Pakistan broke away, because that was the Muslim center. Gandhi did not, he wanted one India. But it's very likely that that is what happened there. And it fits with the pattern of Notre Dame. It also fits with the pattern of all the church attacks. Of course, the anomaly to that is the New Zealand mosque attacks recently. But he said suicide bombers, this is the defense minister, Ruwan Wijewadone, said suicide bombers were responsible for the majority of the morning's bombing. They've arrested about 8 people so far. So when we see suicide bombings, I even have DVDs of training DVDs of how to deal with a suicide bomber. That's a sign of a Muslim terrorist bombings. And yes, I did say Muslim terrorists. The first six initial blasts were at three hotels and three churches. Happened pretty quick. It was coordinated sometime later at a guest house. They were fleeing and they caught some of these terrorists as well. More on that. So I don't think that's going to work well for the terrorist, because this is not the Obama administration that's afraid to say terrorism. We've been doing GWAT. I've got my little GWAT decoration, although I didn't deploy, so I don't have the expedition or the combat badge, but I was activated during that. The United States military has never been sharper or more deadly. They've been fighting for almost 20 years here. They're just starting to wind down. You got Trump in there. Some Americans were killed. Some Brits were killed. This was not a smart move on the terrorists fleeing ISIS. Remember, Trump just destroyed ISIS. The ISIS state has been wiped out. What couldn't be wiped out was, and so they are regrouping probably. And I think that is bad news for them. I don't think Trump is going to fool around with that. And SOCOM is at a high right now. Sri Lanka is a poor country. I'm sure they'll like the investment of military aid. And it's a small place. And I think it was a real big mistake. But that happens every generation. Somebody looks over at us, the Germans, the Japanese, and looks at these fat, fun-loving Americans and says, I think I can take them. And that's the worst mistake they ever make. So I think that will be very problematic. So going on, though, from that, so more to come on that. I think we will hear more honesty out of that than we will hear out of France, from the French, who are not going to face up to what's happening. But there is a company up in South Dakota, I think it is, that is building the wall cheaply and is able to put two sections of wall up a day. And that wall is going to start to happen real quickly as the Democrats devolve into fighting over the Mueller report. And I've purposely stayed away from the Mueller report before I got to other stuff. Believe me, I have plenty to say about that. I've done some deep dives on previous shows about that, but I just wanted to make sure I was getting through everything else I wanted to talk about first. But I think that's very good news. And again, I think this is, with his tweets and with his statements, Trump throwing the ball, the media chased the ball, and Trump starts building the wall. Trump throws the ball, media chases the ball, Trump cuts taxes. Trump throws the ball, media chases the ball, Trump kills ISIS. And I mean, they just keep falling for it. And then in between that, they just keep shooting themselves in the head. Just every week, the Democratic Party. And I mean, Ocasio-Cortez, you know, and Omar, Ocasio-Cortez tweeting out something about congratulations to my friend Omar, who can congratulate her husband on sibling day. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. You know, it's just terrible and absurd. And that's when you have no traditional values, no baseline for what you're doing, then anything goes. And Unplayed is doing really well. And that's thanks to all of you. I told you guys to watch the film. You're watching it. It's doing great. And also remember, Hands of Hope. Remember, I had Elisa Medina on a while back, and that's givehopetucson.com. And remember, they're going to do that Walk for Life on Mother's Day weekend, May 11th, to raise hope. They are 200 feet from the last abortion clinic in Tucson. That is very significant. And there's been lots of genocides, the Holocaust, the genocide of Native Americans by Europeans, but there's no worse genocide than the genocide of the unborn. So guess it's time to get into the Mueller report. And I've got plenty to say about that. And the first thing is that the report came out and Barr did a press conference. And that was, again, masterful and saying, well, you know, there is no collusion, period. And again, collusion is not a term. It would be conspiracy, and it did not happen. But now the same people who lied to you about the polls, there's no way Hillary can lose, and the same people who lied to you about Trump, there's evidence all over the place of collusion, it's just laying there, are now telling you that Barr is lying. So the liars are telling more lies about their lies and telling Barr that he's lying because they are desperate. And so now they want the 6E information. They want the Attorney General to break the law, which is cool because they're really used to breaking the law. They've done it over and over. Hillary has done it over and over. But while they are probably ready to concede the issue of no collusion, although remember on the last couple shows, I said the reason they are so certain that collusion happened, it's just like Obama used to say, is because I believe that they sent the Russians to the Trump team. So they know it happened because it was their agents. And I have a real interesting clip here to play. And this is, I always forget this guy's name. I don't know why, because we work for the same colonel at DIA. And it's Tony Schaefer. He wrote Operation Darkheart. He was doing Able Danger. He data mined bin Laden. And then when the 9/11 Commission came up, they went to check him. He was like, yeah, we found it, but they didn't want us to do anything. Just like the FBI up in Phoenix and Prescott that said, hey, these guys are wanting to fly planes into buildings and I should investigate. And they said, no, do something else. And so the FBI did not want to pursue investigate 9/11. And the intelligence, the DIA, my old agency, did not want to do anything in this. And then they came after him. And basically what DEA did to me, DIA did to him. He was over in Afghanistan fighting the war, and all of a sudden he's under investigation and getting fired because he was outing the guys in power. And this is, now that I know this, this happens over and over. Now I know, Jay Dobbins at ATF and Vince Cefalu and John Dotson, this is what they do to whistleblowers. And then they try and destroy the message. So that's a real interesting clip, but I'm coming up on another break. So we'll take this break and then I will get back into that right after this break. This is Jeff Prather on The Prather Point. Right back with you in the Perfection Auto Works studios. Jeff Prather, back with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works studios. You know, Diamondback is my go-to gun store where Doug and his crew have been serving the needs of the community for 20 years. They're open 7 days a week, offer law enforcement military discounts for both active and retired like me. They're a leading retailer of silencers and other Class 3 products, and even have fingerprint and services, and always open e-commerce store. With one of Tucson's most experienced and knowledgeable instructors, Diamondback offers a variety of firearms training classes from basic to advanced. Diamondback Shooting Sports, 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338 for all your shooting needs. Great guy, Doug. Great store. Stop in there, and also stop in Perfection Auto Works and say hi. So the last show, I was doing deep dives on Mueller and saying that the Mueller report is a hoax of a hoax. I'm not the only one saying that. There's Dan Bongino out there. He's also a former 1811 Secret Service guy. And he is doing great work on this too. But you got to remember, I said that they could not find any collusion, but they were looking for it. So why were they looking for it like this? Because what you're supposed to do is find a crime and then investigate it. That's not what they did with me. They did the opposite. My New York supervisor was called up by the DEA OPR guy, and the guy's telling him about how bad I am. He's like, you're not supposed to be telling me. You're supposed to be investigating, not trying to color it. But that's what they do now. When the FBI switched, and I did a show on this a while back, when the FBI switched from white collar crime into counterterrorism, they needed to get into intelligence and counterintelligence more. And they were not prepared to do that. Law enforcement agencies are not particularly good at intelligence. I've worked in intelligence for a long time. I worked at the high-intensity drug trafficking center, HIDA Intelligence Center, as well. I helped found the Honduran Intelligence Center, kind of like EPIC, the El Paso Intelligence Center. But law enforcement guys don't understand intelligence or counterintelligence real well. And that's illustrated by Stroke. Stroke was the head of the FBI counterintelligence program, and he was having an affair. Well, that means he's blackmailable. He can't be doing counterintelligence because he's blackmailable. And then he's texting stuff to his girlfriend, his lover, Lisa Page. There's no OPSEC. There's no operational security. It's ridiculous. And they did not understand that at all. And so what I was saying was that I thought that the FBI and the Dems and the left were the colluders with Russia. And they unwittingly or wittingly colluded with Russian disinformation. And so I found a real interesting clip of Tony Schaefer. And he was DIA, like I said, and we worked for the same boss. He was in Afghanistan while I was in D.C. I had the easy gig, but really smart guy. And here's what he's got to say about that. Listen in. So did you get that? So everything on Hillary's server was going to another server in Manassas, really close by in Virginia. And that business was a storefront for the Chinese intelligence service. So let's put this differently. So somebody hides a server in their home and transmits all of their classified top secret and secret and confidential information on it and is intercepted by a Chinese intelligence storefront. Well, see, folks, in the intelligence profession, we call that espionage. We call that spying. And what's really interesting also is if you go back and look at the emails of when Hillary was running, Hillary's team was contacted by the Chinese ambassador. And the Chinese ambassador, yeah, oh, I got you. John's looking like, what? Yes. And the Chinese ambassador was demanding an audience and a very private audience as if he could talk to, as if he was running the, as an informant, as an asset, the Hillary Clinton staff, or indeed Hillary Clinton. Well, this goes back now even further. If you go back, is our subs used to run silently, more silently than anybody else's subs. And then there is rumor out there that Bill Clinton gave away our silent running technology. This is kind of the basis for some of the movies, the Harrison Ford movies. But the Chinese have given a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation has not passed the 501c3 smell test. So why are the Dems so focused on the Russians? And the answer is because they don't want us to focus on the Chinese and the real espionage that's going on. And to make it worse, if I played the rest of this clip, which I won't, but you can look up, Tony Schaefer, ODNI, and I've stood outside the DNA's office, just like I've stood outside the White House, the Oval Office, and I've been in the White House Situation Room. I've stood outside the DNI's Director of National Intelligence, which is the DIA, not the CIA, because the CIA, they just couldn't handle it. But he's the director of all the intelligence community. And I've briefed the guys who briefed them. So I'm real familiar with this, it's Bolin and all that stuff, is that the Chinese contacted Hillary and asked for this meeting. And they were seriously talking about having this meeting for a long time. Now, I don't know whether they did or not, but that begs the question of why would they want to have this meeting? And so I can see I'm not going to be able to get into the obstruction efforts today, but let's just talk about the other side of obstruction. Is destroying some 30,000 emails obstruction? Is hiding a server in your basement obstruction? And so it's Rush, with all my due respect to Rush, is wrong. The Dems don't hate Trump. They fear Trump. And why do they keep bringing up this stupid stuff? Because they have to. Because if we're not focused on the stupid stuff, we're going to focus on the real stuff. And they're all going to go to jail. And the last most important point before I take your phone call, Mark, is this metadata was brought to the attention of the head of FBI counterintelligence, stroke, 3 times. And under law, you have to do something about it. And he did nothing. And so what does that mean? That means that these criminal indictments that are going over, I'm pretty sure Stroke's name is at the head of the list. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they say this in, I can't say it on the air, but it's in the Braveheart movie. The Lord says he can get me out of this, but not you. Anyway, Mark, you're on the line. Happy Easter.
Oh, happy Easter. Christ is risen. And anyway, so of course we all know or should know about Dianne Feinstein's Chinese chauffeur for over 20 years. who turns out to be some sort of a Chinese spy. And what did he get, and how did he get it? Kind of a thing. And is that anything coming out about that?
Well, I talked about that on last week's show a little bit. Yes, and that the FBI went to her and said, hey, you got a spy. And they fired him.
Right.
But the FBI did not go to Trump.
Well, the damage is done, though. So what do we know that if he got anything? He must have gotten a lot of stuff for 20-some years, 22 or 3 years or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, and he got everything on. So it, what it looks like to an intelligence professional like me is that the Clintons were on the Chinese payroll through the Clinton Foundation for decades. That's what it looks like.
All the more, all the more reason to have them staked out over anthills for 30 days.
And so what did what did Trump do? He took on the Chinese right away, right?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
But the Clintons never took on the Chinese, and the Russians are a sideshow. We're not wrapped up in the Russians' economy. We are definitely wrapped up in the Chinese economy.
That's correct. And it's an amazing thing how someone can go into a presidency as a pauper and come out as hundreds of million dollars wealthier.
Yeah, but what happened at the last Clinton speech is they were heckled because they were still trying to raise money and nobody wanted to give them money because they're no longer useful. There may be some criminal indictments coming there. But I can tell you what's going to happen. We're not going to have time to talk about it today, but we'll get to the next show, is these guys are going to there's Clapper's in this, Brennan's in this, Comey's in this. They're all in trouble, and they're going to start turning on each other to make deals. I guarantee you that's going to happen because Barr is serious and Trump is serious. But anyway, thanks for the call, Mark. Maranatha. The Lord is risen in the ancient Aramaic proclamation. Blessings abound. Good Pesach. Happy Easter. See you next week. God bless. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point.